We really are at a very, I'm going to call it auspicious moment in history. I have never been more stimulated personally. I know that being my particular age has a lot to do with it. I know that if I were young, I would be very, maybe even bitter and confused that all the rules were changing so very fast right now. But now I'm so much more relaxed thanks to the teaching that I live my life by. And I find it such an extraordinary opportunity to really see the things, to see things as they really are, and to surrender to the inevitability of life, and to bring everything that I possibly can to the most complex challenges that we have. There are some things, as Dr. Neil shared with you, that are true. You know, life is very, very different than it was even 25 years ago, even 10 years ago. The nature of our work is very different. And one of the gratitudes I want to start with is knowing that I do have people like Reverend Keith and Reverend James, and we share the particular lineage of Dr. Walker, who, man, I learned something from. And I've been out there in the world as well and went to several different other graduate schools and have the privilege of being an ordained Unity minister as well. But without that foundation that I got from Dr. Walker, I don't think I would have the enthusiasm to continue on with this work. And so I really want to particularly acknowledge George and Keith and James and whoever else is here. I'm sorry. And who else? And Joan. I'm sorry, Joan, because I didn't know Joan while I lived here in L.A. Excuse me. And to stay in this work is such an incredible thing. Sometimes in our work, we do say, you know, if Jesus came back and looked at the planet, you know, he would say, are you really still having these same conversations? Are you really fighting about these particular things? Are you really taking this literally? And, you know, we all understand that that feeling was like, and it's very valid. And at this point in my life, I wonder if Dr. Holmes came back. After writing The Science of Mind in 1926, I wonder if he would say, are you really still looking at that book? Has nobody written anything better in the last 90 years? Has nobody made any advancement of it? You know, we, for 1,000 years, literally, the first quotation that exists about if I have accomplished anything, it's because I've stood on the shoulders of giants. That's from the year 1100. From an English mystic, and we continue to use that all the time. What we tend to do, though, especially in our institutions, is we might be standing on the shoulders of giants, but we're not telling anybody what we're seeing. We're still talking about the giant that we're standing on. And we've got to be done with that. We've got to be done with that, because I know it would be okay with them. They wouldn't have done the hard work and the heavy lifting unless they expected us to do something brand new and be really, really adventurous in it. So, well, that's the way I feel. So honor and blessing always. Honor and blessing always on our teachers. And I always keep a chair, not for Elijah, but I keep a chair for Dr. Walker and our spiritual ancestors. There's always a chair on this stage, because I know that somebody is here doing this work with us at all times. Since I came into the science of mind, I know that I've been on an extraordinary, thoughtful path as well. And I know that I have learned certain things. You don't have to learn these either as well, but this is what I have learned. I have learned that we don't need hymnals, and we don't even need to call a song a spiritual song for it to be so. I know that any song that is offered from a pure heart and is offered as a gift is a holy song, and it's appropriate for supporting us in our work here. I know that something that I feel has changed profoundly in my mind, and I hope in yours as well, is that we are no longer embarrassed by being ill if that should come to us. We understand that life is no less beautiful or wondrous when accompanied by illness, and it is never anything to be embarrassed about. We have tools to work with it in order to heal what needs to be healed and reveal what needs to be revealed. I feel grateful that we don't need to pretend to be any younger than we are, because with every year that passes, we know that we are entering the most enriched time of our lives. If there is anything to a truth teaching, let's hear it for the old folks like me. Yeah! Arr! We know that there is no one way that you have to learn how to treat. There is no right way to treat. There's nobody whose approval you need when you pray. There's only one way to do it wrong, and that is not to pray at all. Other than that, if your intention is clear and you know that there's a truth that you understand profoundly in your heart, you give it your best shot, and I don't care how the words come out, as long as you know that you are here to heal. I know that we don't have to go to a Center for Spiritual Living or any New Thought church anymore. That is what is different. That there are at least 10,000 ministers that are doing spectacularly good creative work online. And you can see it 24 hours a day. I know James Mellon does that. Our talks are online, and as all the ministries are. I mean, I was astonished to look at our analytics, because ministers look at analytics now, to know we've got 10 people in Africa that listen to our Sunday talks. How does this happen? I don't know. I don't care. But it's a blessing of the world that we live in. If we don't have to show up at church to hear the encouraging word, which you did, you, for the last 50,000 years, you had to go somewhere to hear someone tell a story. This is what's been consistent for 50,000 years. And in the last 5 years, you don't have to do that anymore. So what is the point of gathering in community? I'm glad you asked. Here is the answer. It is written in the invitation that Dr. Walker wrote. If you want to look at this as I read it again, I invite you to do that. The point of having an intentional community where these doors are always open and anyone can walk in here at any time without obligation, and surely there's never any duress. The point is because there will always be someone who is seeking peace. And I know that in all of our centers, that there will be something that will occur that will afford that person peace. And someone will be looking to hear a story about a God and a life that makes sense to their mind and to their heart, and they will hear it here. And they will look around and they will see that other people are listening to it as well, and they will know that they are not alone in their pursuit. There will always be somebody who is in need of healing, always, always, always. And healing is creating. I understand healing now not to be a cure of the body. This was the original discovery in the 1880s in New Thought. And it was so effective. The mind cure, mental science, Christian science were profound and amazing and beautiful blessings to the world. But what we are is we are about the business of creating. And if it's creating an improvement in your physical body, so be it. But healing is also about remembering the truth of who you really are. It's righting a relationship that has gone awry. It's the improvement of a social condition. It's creation of a work of art. It's the singing of a song. It's the creation of a garden. These are all interpretations of healing if we know that this is something that is creative. Ah, now here's the important part. Dr. Walker says, may we bless each other by daring to be who we have always been, to know what we have always known, and express the highest of what we know life to be. The point of having an intentional community and gathering together is so that I will take my own life seriously, and I will demonstrate it to you because I care about you. I care about you and your pursuits, and I know that you care about me and my pursuits. and I will bless you when I dare to take on the true identity, and I show it to you. And that's why we gather on Sunday morning. I do not come in here like a child of a lesser God and curse the traffic or complain about whatever, but I come fully prepared to show you that I remember, at least for 62 minutes on a Sunday, that I know who I am and I know who you are. This is a profound spiritual transaction, and that has to happen face to face. As much as I adore Facebook and all the kitten pictures that are on Facebook and all that stuff, you know, the Facebook friend does not take you to chemo. And it's the people here, the community that we have, that we know that we are working at one thing, really only at one thing, and that's for me to be the best that I can in my particular role, my multiple roles, and in my world, that I will be who I have always been, which is a spectacular, fresh, and amazing creation of life. And to know what I have always known, that gosh darn it, no matter what is in the newspaper or on the television, that I know that there is an order in this cosmos, and it unfolds in ease and grace. And I don't care what the story is, and I don't care how dramatic and tragic it is, that I know what the truth is, that this world that I get to be a part of is continually unfolding in a beautiful and a seamless way. And that I will come here on Sundays to express the highest of what I know life to be. And you come here on whatever day it is, Saturday night or Sunday, for you to express the highest of what you know life to be, not the smallest, not the crankiest, not the averagest, not the television-driven, but life driven by a high aspiration, an aspiration that comes from your high heart of whatever it is that you love, knowing that that is your original gift resource. Whatever it is that you find truly engaging, truly life-enhancing, and as long as it supports your health and wholeness and does not diminish the life experience of another, that is for you to bring out into the world and to show it to people. Your gift resource begs to be conspicuous. An orange tree has a potential for creating oranges, and there is something in that particular thing that is just begging to give the gift of an orange to the world. And there it is. Behold the beauty of that. And so what is you? Who are you? What are you? I know that you know. I know it. And yet we need to remind each other. You see, I think I said this on Sunday during our annual meeting, but a long time ago the Dalai Lama said that the next avatar was not going to come in the form of a person, but would come in the form of a community. And you know what? It's already here. There's no little group that's going to pop up. It's you. The great shift that has happened is that the age of the lawgiver is over. Which is challenging news for preachers. Am I right, George? The age of the lawgiver is over. And I'm here for one particular purpose, is to reflect back to you who you really are, to continue to ask you, are you sure that that's what you really want to say right now? Because I know that you know. I know that you know better. Are you sure that's what you want to say? And are you about the business of expressing the highest of what you know life to be? Not somebody else's life, your life. Are you reserving your energy and dedicating your creative juice to creating a life that's going to give you pleasure and therefore be a blessing to the world? Because as it's written in the Tao Te Ching, the only gift you give the world is the example of your life working. So make your life work, right? I mean, why not be about that? The great gift that I got from Dr. Walker, among others, but if I had to say the one particular thing that I got from him, was a phrase that he used to use, which was, don't delay your good. And I appropriated that, and I have said that many, many times to people. And every time I've said it, I go, you know, that's the truth. I know you can't give bad advice if you say that to somebody. If you know what your good is, what are you waiting for? Shavuos? Right. I know you're supposed to say that. Is that Tom Burke? You know, get now. Do it now. Don't delay your good. And the other thing that I will always remember from Dr. Walker is his quoting Henry David Thoreau, who said, I have learned this at least by my experiment, that if one advances confidently in the direction of their dreams, you will meet with a success undreamt of in common hours. New, more liberal laws will be established around you, and you will live with the license of a higher order of beings. So our work continues. You know, three cheers for the first 25 years. And for the next 25 years, it's not going to be any different. It's going to be each one of us, not directed from here, but each one of us encouraging everybody else, everyone we know, as best we can, to advance confidently in the direction of your dreams. I know that I am dedicating the rest of my life to doing that work. I am blessed to have been inspired to ministry by Dr. Walker. And also, I don't mind saying that Cooper Neal was the only person for the first year that recognized me, and that meant a lot to me. I was too afraid to talk to anybody, but he recognized me, and I got that. So seeing someone, Jeff and Deb, seeing people, turns on something which is really important. And that's why I am devoted to doing a church in an environment such as this. Thank you all for coming tonight. I think this is lovely. And I love you. I love you, Cooper. Thank you.